Hello, happy new year, everyone. There's masses of you in this chat box today, aren't there? Absolutely masses of you. First in the box, Pat Brady, then there's Michael Donahue, MJL, Corey Austin, and 235100, Peter Green, Daniel Cronin, Jake Taylor, Guna 73, J Rob, K Man. 1867, Ron Rees there, C Law's there. Oh my God, I'm not mentioning that, okay? No, where was that? Under YN0TSUM, I'm not mentioning the rest of it. You can forget it. Nice work though. Nikki Wilson's there, Lossless is there. Guys, how are you all? Happy New Year to every single one of you. Alkin Elche, is it Elche? You pronounce that? Yeah, you get one too. Priyank Mujamda. Priyash Mujamda's there, sorry. Unique 79. Frank Gunner's there. Pablo Amar. Happy New Year, everyone. Really over the moon to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. It's 2019, thankfully. We've started it off a lot better than we ended 2018, so let's get into it. Apologies, guys. I've got the lurgy. I'm in a hell of a state, yeah, but I'm joined by somebody who's going to cheer me right up. Here he is. It's the one. It's the only. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. It's never going to get old. No one else laughs at that joke other than me and you, Jace, now.
It's just me, you and Dom. Just me and you and Dom. You know, I'm not being funny. That is it, okay? I know. It's me, you and Dom. We're the only ones who like it. We're the only ones who laugh. But I guess that's the way it is, isn't it? Ariane Hidari says, no coincidence that John Welsh drought led us to a losing streak. He's done it again, hasn't he? John Welsh masterclass. He's right. Happy New Year, pal. You all right?
Yeah, I'm very good. Weird New Year's Day. Weird New Year's Day performance. I don't remember New Year's Day football being particularly great anyway. They always kind of throw up funny games and odd performances. You get weird results as well. So happy with the result. I'm not sure about the bit on the pitch. But I'll take the 3 points all day long.
Let's get into it straight away, is it? Lineups, mate. We're playing Fulham, who may be the worst team in the league this season. There's no Ramsey, there's no Ozil. He's gone back to normal. But we're playing three at the back at home. Talk me through it.
My only sort of reasoning for it is I guess that like we know he's not overly confident in Kolasinac defensively. Like going forward, I thought he was very, very good again today. And he's been good at doing that the last couple of weeks, to be fair. But I think defensively he's still weak and I'm not sure Emery trusts him. You've got Maitland-Niles the other side as well, who, you know, it's not really his position. And fair play to the kid, he's going out there and doing his best. So I think it's a case of trying to get minutes into players like Mustafi and Koscielny who need it, and also trying to be a little bit secure, especially after the thumping we got at Liverpool. You know, they're going to be a bit nervous at the back. That's my only understanding of it. I mean, you drop one of them and you put, I don't know, Torreira or Ramsey in instead and go four at the back, I guess, is all you can do. It's just so difficult at the moment because there's so few. He's got so few options in terms of players to select.
Yeah, I think it's a big risk. You know, if Mustafi is sort of tender coming back from the injury, it's a bit of a big risk. It is, but you know, I just felt. I get your thinking on it, but I just felt, you know, it lacked a little bit of ambition. You know, it's a case of. I think the team aren't the only ones hurt by the defeat to Liverpool. I think the manager is as well, and I think he's I think he may be a little bit like a rabbit in the headlights at the moment. But there you go.
I think I like the fact that both Aubameyang and Lacazette started, and it wasn't one of them playing wide necessarily. It looked, for at least for periods of the game, that both of them were actually through the middle. So I like that confidence and the fact that we were actually willing to play, you know, two strikers up front against a Fulham team that defensively has been, I don't know, they've shipped like 40 goals, I think.
Yeah, dude, we're putting off our behind it. We're really not. Okay, let's get into it. Before we get into the game, there was a minute's silence for Peter Hillwood. You know, a great Arsenal man, and sad news that he's unfortunately passed away. But you know, it was nice. I'm only a bit surprised they didn't do the celebration clapping thing on that. But a minute's silence, if that's what the family wanted, that's lovely. And
yeah,
it sounded as if it was there were the odd voice or whatever, I think, but I'm not sure if that was the TV or whatever. I don't know, but yeah, our thoughts to his family, a great, great Arsenal man who saw titles, FA Cups, European Cup winners, cup wins during his time as chairman of the Arsenal. So rest in peace, mate. You know, it's a sad day. Okay, game started off, mate. It wasn't a slow start from us this time, was it? It was a bit more, I'm not sure how to put it, it was really Jekyll and Hyde. We had Aubameyang shoot over the bar early. You had a really, really strong run from Kolasinac down the flank, where he just about, you know, he beats off two defenders to win a corner. But then the Sessegnon chance happens. We get countered really easily. Mm-hmm. And with our back three, I'm sorry, I'm going to pick on him, but Sokratis is nowhere. He's way out of position, and there's no chance to get him back. Thankfully, though, Sessegnon fires wide. It was bizarre, wasn't it, the first sort of 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, we've been complaining about slow starts and that kind of thing most of the season, and we started really quick, and we had the nice interplay. We had Maitland-Niles getting in down the right-hand side rapid, and then you see Fulham counter the other way. You know, Kolasinac and that side of the pitch is an easy part of our squad to exploit. I think especially when we're playing the back three, getting in behind the wing-backs is sort of the traditional thing to do. You've got Koscielny on that left-hand side with Sokratis sitting middle. And maybe an older Ryan Sessegnon probably puts that away. It wasn't the first chance. It wasn't the last chance he got in the game. Thankfully for us, he didn't take him. But it was just very, very weird today. I just felt like, I think I put a tweet out saying that Iwobi, you know, after the first half, Iwobi looked like the only player who hadn't been out on the piss, to be honest. And it wasn't just us, it was Fulham as well. Like, passes were going astray and just positionally all wrong. And they were all, so every, like, both teams, all the players just out of sync with each other. And then getting random spurts of sort of a minute here, a good football, and a minute there for both teams. It wasn't easy viewing. I'm sure it was, you could definitely hear on through the TV anyway, the reaction from the crowd at the stadium. Because after the Liverpool game, obviously, we thought, okay, we're at home to Fulham. You know, we should be at least defensively secure and get some easy goals. But it didn't start great, did it?
It was awful. It was absolutely awful. A couple of quick things from the chat box. Ariane, it's 10 past five. It does get dark yet early. Prayash Majumda is in with the rupees. And he says today's game was like the games during a 22-match run. Wouldn't disagree with that, Prayash. Really wouldn't. It was one of those things where you just think, oh God, it was painful. It was absolutely painful to watch. No wonder the crowd was sort of was silent and were just, you know, they weren't enjoying it. You know, there were some boos flying around there.
Also, Jess, you got one from Unique79 as well. Donation in there. £2 as well. Thank you for Unique. Excuse me. Thank you, Unique79. Why do we have a habit of missing easy chances?
Where's that? Have I missed that?
It's a bit higher up, mate.
Oh, sorry, Unique. I do apologise.
That's all right. He's got it in there, and Danny's in there with the thank you and all the chat box as usual. So thank you for that chat box. We will come on to that, Unique, as well, because some of the finishing today was... there were some good goals and there were some really bad bad chances missed.
Yeah, that was awful. Put that question for later, mate, and we'll answer that. John, my next note is basically the Arsenal falling apart. We're giving the ball away easily. It, you know, all of a sudden we looked like a rabbit in the headlights, didn't we? You know, that one counter, all of a sudden, we fell apart in the middle. We didn't win the middle of the park at all, I thought, until the second half. And at the back, I mean, I get Cause is just back from a long-term injury, but I thought it was pathetic. And yes, you can say it's both teams, but this is the Arsenal. We've spent a lot of money. You know, we have spent a lot of money, and that was not good enough.
That was the Liverpool game. I kind of, it's not a write-off, but you know, it's a different thing because it's a very good team that's top of the table and at the moment looking like they're going to go on to win the league. But it's the first time this season that I've seen us panic in a game. In previous matches where we've come under pressure or you know, teams have had chances and stuff, we haven't looked nervous. You know, we've kind of kept our heads, kept going, and even if we're still conceding chances, we just kept playing our game, you know, like the Uno thing of like, we'll just stick to it, even if it's costing us chances, we'll keep doing it until we get it right. And today we looked, you know, very, very nervous, very edgy, and I think it's still a hangover from that Liverpool game. That's the big thing for me that came out of that. And if anything, if you're a Fulham fan, before that first goal, the Xhaka one that goes in, they must have been pulling their hair out because they really were all over us for about 10-15 minutes.
Absolutely. The Mike from the Gooners podcast has just come in with a donation of $1.99 to annoy Danny, which I love. And he says, in honour of Ramsey's final Arsenal goal, see ya. Well, I think he'll be here till the summer, mate, because we ain't getting the transfer fee for him anymore. Oh, we will talk about that later. We will. Because there's, you know, obviously with Ornstein's tweets yesterday, we can see the club are trying to clean house and do some damage limitation on the situation there. So we get some good interplay between Laka and Guendouzi, which leads to a counter-attack. You know, Fulham really were bad. Then we get countered, and Schürrle had put a cross in, which is missed by everyone. At this point, we should be 2-0 down.
Yeah, absolutely should. Arian Hadari's also just donated Kent $10. Sources tell me John Welsh is away because he was at Milan negotiating Skriniar. He's done it again. I wish, Arian. Oh, I'd love that guy at the Arsenal. I mean, that ball in was just brilliant. And that showed our lack of, like, the midfield just wasn't in it. It showed that, you know, Maitland-Niles isn't really a fullback. He's not closing down the crosses. You saw what Kolasinac has in terms of weakness in defending, because he's just completely unaware of Sessegnon running off him and just completely and goes in. And thankfully for us, you know, Sessegnon just, I don't know, just hits an air shot. But yeah, it should have been 2-0. I mean, at this point, I'm sort of thinking, okay, well, we've got lucky here. Two chances gone. It's going to be one of them games. But, you know, Fulham are so woeful in front of goal this season that maybe we get away with it. In the end, we did. But it really wasn't easy viewing up to that point. And the goal that we, you know, got in reply, because I think it was only a few minutes after that Xhaka scored, it was really against the run of play. I don't know, what did you think of the Xhaka goal, Jace? You're on mute, pal.
Sorry, mate. I'm not with it at all. I do apologise. And big shout out to Arian Hadari, though. Thank you ever so much, mate. You're always a firm supporter of us and you're superb. The goal, I just thought it was Keystone Cops time. It was awful defending from Fulham. But it will be put the ball in where it hurt. And to be fair to Xhaka, I'm not sure if he tried to mess it up, but it hits the back of the net. Do you know what I mean? I was pleased for Xhaka, to be fair, because, you know, I think as much as we give him a bit of stick, and he deserves it at times, he's been, you know, when he's on the ball, he's one of our most consistent performers, you know, without doubt, you know. I mean, you know, we'll come to the injury scare a bit later, but, you know, look, he's not God hasn't blessed him with mobility, okay? But he made the run into the box, and he was rewarded with a good cross from Iwobi, and he put it away. And it was against the run of play, I would say, because I thought, you know, Fulham had been on top. But to be fair, you make your own luck, don't you? You know, and Iwobi puts in a good cross. Xhaka manages to get it across the line. That's all that matters. And that's all that matters in a day like this.
Yeah. It was a weird performance from Xhaka. Quick thank you to Petito100 for the donation as well. If we buy anyone before centre-backs, I will lose it. I think we all echo that, pal. Xhaka had I thought he had a pretty bad game, to be honest. He gave the ball away so many times. But his passing wasn't there. But then he did some great passes and he scores a goal. And he was playing a very weird role today because he was the one breaking into the box and being the late runner, something that we associate Ramsey with. But he was doing that whilst also trying to be the deep line creator as well. So almost as if he was doing like two roles at once against the three-man Fulham midfield. It all seemed a bit of a mess today, to be honest. Tactically, I thought at times the formation was wrong. The personnel for the formation were wrong. I think Emery kind of he got away with it today because it was Fulham more than, you know, brilliance of substitutions and reading the game and anything like that. And just in general, us having better quality players, although they didn't show it at all times.
But do you think, okay, and this is something I wanted to come on to maybe a bit later, but let's address it now. Do you think that may be down to the fact that I'm not sure if these guys believed in today's lineup? Do you know what I mean? I think they're looking, we're about to play Fulham. Mm. We're awful. We're playing three at the back. Why? Okay. You're asking, Xhaka to do a role which he's not really made to do, you know. We never looked comfortable at any point. You know, we just didn't look comfortable at any point up until the second half.
Yeah. I'm just going to, because of that, I'm going to jump to one of the questions, which we normally say for later, but Pete Coulson says, it seems we're all here to mourn a 4-1 victory whilst having eight players injured. You know, how many times have he's got Spurs, Man United, Chelsea played shit and got away with it? Happy New Year's, fools. And I totally get your point, Pete. It's weird. I've come on today, we've won 4-1 and I want to moan, which doesn't make any sense. Because all I really wanted today was to win off the Liverpool game and just try and forget about the horror show at Liverpool. But I do take your point, Jace. I'm not sure that it's the players not buying into it or believing it. I just think they're all a bit shell-shocked from the Liverpool game still, to be honest. You think we hadn't lost for so long and then we lose a game and it's like, okay, well, we were going to lose one eventually. Yeah. But then you go up to Liverpool who, when we previously played them, I thought we were pretty equal to them. Maybe could have won the game, although I don't think when you compare the performances to what Liverpool were then and what they're doing now, I don't think Liverpool were playing at their best. I just don't think the players expected that to happen up at Anfield. And I think that was a real shock for them. And I don't think the manager expected it either.
No, you could see that by his interview afterwards. But, you know, but that's done, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but
it's the manager's...
Stay in your mind, though.
Yeah, okay, they can, but it's the manager's job to then galvanise the team to move forward. And let's be honest, we could not have had a better fixture than Fulham at home to bounce back from, okay? But the performance, and you know, I've harped on about this all season, okay? The performance has to be better than that. Yes, it's a good 4-1 win. Okay, it is a good 4-1 win. Let's not get away from that. It does our goal difference the world of good when we really do need it. Okay, but the performance was rubbish. The team are booed off at half time.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't tell me all is well in Emery's world, okay? It's not. Everybody kept on telling me end of last season, oh, you know, we're 37 points off top. The title challenge was done by Christmas. It was done by Christmas this year. You know, Liverpool got a game in hand on us. They're 13 points ahead of us.
Yeah.
They will be 16 points ahead of us tomorrow, whatever it is, again. You know? But the performances, you know, last season I looked at the performances and away was awful. It's the worst I've ever seen. At home, we were excellent at times. We were really, really good. The thing I thought we'd sort out would be the defensive frailties. The defensive frailties are as bad as they've ever been. They're as bad as they've ever been. So am I going to mourn? Damn right I'm going to mourn. Because that was crap what we put out there today. We're a better team than that.
Yeah. I think today was, it's not like previous games where it's been individuals making stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
We've had it in games where Lichtsteiner has made an error, Socrates, Mustafi, yeah. Xhaka, whoever. Today it was like everyone, you know, like the defence was, the shape was all wrong at times. The wing backs, Maitland-Niles isn't a wing back for a start, and Kolasinac is brilliant going forwards, but defensively is weak. The two in front in midfield, Xhaka had an awful game today. You know, he scored a goal. And, you know, it was a great run into the box, and a couple of times he broke into the box very well. But a lot, and I love Xhaka, but he was dreadful today. Guendouzi wasn't good either. I think there is a lack of energy about the team at the moment, because I do think the fact that we've got so many injuries, there are players who would not have played this many games. I think that's a genuine thing. I think you saw that when Torreira came on, he didn't look fit and with it. You know, I think he's still suffering from that cold, because he was awful when he came on as well.
Yeah.
And look, it's one of those games we played really badly, but
we won.
We got the win. And that's the main thing. It was all about, as long as we get the win after the Liverpool game and the way we got beat, just get the win. That's the first thing.
Okay. I'm just going to say, Unique 79, I've put that in for later. Okay. I will answer that later. And we're gonna be talking about what's happening within the club as well. My next note is that this is awful. That's my next note. It's there, okay. Mitrovic gets a chance, which Leno saves for Sokratis. I thought he was doing a ballerina move in there. I thought he was truly awful today. I've got to be honest with you. You'll get praise for the assist for Aubameyang's goal, because it was a beautiful ball from him. But I thought he didn't know what he was doing. I thought his decision-making was awful, you know. And I'm sorry, but he's bang average.
It's very odd, because I thought playing against Mitrovic would be the sort of striker. He seemed to excel against physical strikers, like in games I've seen so far this season. The sort of quick, tricky ones, he struggled against more, which makes sense. But the physical ones, he likes the battle and the sort of back and forth, and he seems to enjoy that. So I thought he'd like playing against Mitrovic today. But I think, honestly, like, Sessegnon caused us so many problems, particularly in the first half, because no one knew who to pick him up. Like, we were not clear on who's supposed to be picking him up, because he wasn't really playing as a winger. He wasn't really playing up front. He kind of had this sort of slightly odd free role, just like inside right. And it was Koscielny doesn't know if he's supposed to go. Is Kolasinac supposed to drop in, or is Xhaka or Guendouzi supposed to shuffle across? There wasn't enough communication there. Someone should have taken charge. That's what it felt like today, that no one in the team wanted to put their hand up and go, right, I'm in charge. I'll tell everyone what to do. It didn't feel like we had a player on the pitch today to do that.
There was no leadership whatsoever, was there? Mm. We got a load of questions for later. This is brilliant. Let's get into this then. So when we get Guendouzi puts an effort, has an effort saved, it's a poor effort to be fair. Xhaka has a chance, good work from Iwobi and Kolasinac. How did he not score? I think that summed up sort of Xhaka's game. You know, it was a good save from Rico, to be fair to him. I just look at it and I just kind of think, he's got to do a bit better there, because when you look at the way he hits a ball, he can place a ball anywhere. Well, how can he score them, mate?
I think that's one of those chances where you need someone with finesse and not power. That's if you've got Lacazette there, it's a nice little dink over the keeper rather than a, I'm going to absolutely drill it, lever it, you know, Xhaka, Kolasinac type player. And, you know, I thought he's a decent save from the keeper. And is it Ream, I think, maybe got in behind him as well to try and put the block on if it had gone underneath him. Their keeper did really well today, to be fair to Rico. He didn't deserve to concede four goals because he made some very good saves. But yeah, it was, again, good. You know, that's not what you expect Xhaka to do, getting into the box like that. But all our best play came from Iwobi and Kolasinac getting down that side, getting to the byline, pulling the ball back and stuff. And you can see how much we miss Bellerin in the team, because as much as I like Maitland-Niles and I love him, and
he's on a development course, isn't he?
He's on a development course, and he's not a wing back. You know, it's a different role. So
absolutely. Then we see, and I've just been harsh on Socrates, but he showed some beautiful skill in the attacking corner.
Oh, that was amazing! He looked like Pele.
He did. He looked absolutely superb. You've got to give the boy credit.
Spins a man out on the left wing, cuts inside, knocks it past another defender, and then gets a good shot off. I was like, whoa, great. Lovely bit of techers. He's been watching Iwobi.
No, that was better than Iwobi, to be fair. Okay, I've never seen Iwobi do that. It was superb from Socrates. And by the way, that's not having a dig at Iwobi. I thought Iwobi, he went from the sublime to the ridiculous a lot, giving away silly balls, but some moments of magic with his feet. There really were. And, you know, he deserved his assist today. He's a lovely ball in. So that's not having a go at Iwobi. He was by far not the worst player on the pitch today. He's probably the best of a bad bunch. So to wrap it up then, the first half, then we get an Aubameyang chance, which is headed wide. Lacazette chance saved. But then we get the Xhaka injury scare. Now you and I both put in the box in our WhatsApp group. Oh fuck!
Yeah, because I was very nervous because I know some people don't like Xhaka, but he's been our most consistent player. You know, he's had to play centre back, he's had to play left back. He's willing to do it. He'll put a shift in wherever you position him, and he does tend to steady the midfield. Today he was garbage, I'm not gonna lie. I'll give it to him both barrels, but yeah, that did worry me, because then I thought, okay, so now we're down to Guendouzi and Torreira. I like Guendouzi. I think he's got a big future ahead of him, but you know, he's still got a lot to learn. Torreira, I think, has been off the boil last couple of games. Maybe it is this illness that's slowing him down a bit and making him not play so well. He's gonna have dips. Again, he's only 22. So not having a senior centre midfielder, if he'd gone down injured, absolutely terrified me, yeah.
Yeah, the one thing about when he went down is, there goes the metronome in the team.
Yeah.
You know, it was a case of nobody else does what he does for us. Okay? Yeah. All this talk of Guendouzi doing it, nowhere near ready. Nowhere near ready. You know, I like Guendouzi. I got a lot of time for him. I think he's going to be. I think he's a great signing and one that should keep the club, should serve the club well for a number of years. You know, but nowhere near ready at the moment. And you know, that terrified me. I got to be honest. I just thought if he's out for 3 or 4 games, we're in the caca. You know, and I'm not trying to make more of it than it was, but that's my thoughts at the moment. I just, the bloody hell, we can't afford to do without him. Because I think, as much as I think Torreira has been great for us, I think he's massively overhyped by our fan base. He's done very, very, very well. He deserves his spot in the team, but you know, he's still a young player learning as well, and I expect him to be better next season.
It's a big ask for him to, you know, be the sort of linchpin in midfield if Xhaka goes down. So it's a worry. I mean, we could always play a Welshman in there, but you know.
Well, not Arsenal quality. His ego gets in the way. What can I say? Lord Ilwood's just put there, Jace with the Sheldon Cooper look. Charming, Steve. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah, he does look a little bit like a Flash t-shirt. That's true, yeah.
Well,
you got the colours. Yeah. Very good. I haven't got mine on today, sorry.
Okay, so second half, Torreira comes on, Mustafi off. bit tactical, bit fitness related is all we can think of. Fulham come out, they're straight in the attack. We have a Mitrovic chance saved. He was offside. Again, I found Socrates at fault there. I'm sorry, but I just did. I try to be a little kind to Socrates, I do, because obviously I gave him a massive hard time in the season. And I probably went over the top. Like I've said, he's been a lot better than I thought. I still think he's bang average, though. But, you know, it was just one of those you just thought, oh, Christ, not more the same, you know. We did start off shakily, didn't we, in that second half?
Yeah, again, credit to Fulham. I think they exploited the fact that we came out and we were playing a different system and it took us, you know, 5-10 minutes to settle, to switch in the back four and the midfield slightly changed shape. And the forward line did as well. And they exploited that in that people, again, weren't positionally quite on it, that kind of thing. So it's decent play from them. We were slow to everything today in terms of reacting and adjusting to things. It does make me question a little bit Unai switching things so much in games. Is it maybe a little bit too much? Not that the players aren't smart enough or good enough to do it, but just because we have got so many injuries and having to change that much in a game where you're already not playing that great can sometimes unnerve the players a little bit. I think once we'd settled down into the back four, sort of 10 minutes into the second half, then we actually started to take control of the game and play much better.
I agreed. Lord Elwood puts down, it's the two T-shirts, I get you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I get you. AFC Cam says that is fair. Regarding Torreira, as a fan base, we completely overrate or dismiss players or dismiss them as shit. There's no in between. Yeah, I think we all do, mate. I think it's a really good point for me, AFC Cam there. You know, we either overhype them massively or they're rubbish.
I think that's football fans in general, isn't it?
It's not just our problem. It's a difficult one. Then the Lacazette goal, mate. Some fantastic interplay between Kolasinac, Iwobi on Aubameyang. The little turn around the corner from Iwobi was fantastic.
Mm. His sort of awareness, the weight he puts on those balls, when he gets it right, is so good. He does it with nutmegs, little back heels, that kind of thing. Aubameyang getting involved in the build-up was nice as well, just stretching a play. Kolasinac was just down that left-hand side the whole game. Not always back defending where he should have been, but at least going forwards, he was absolutely brilliant. And my favourite bit of it was just as the ball comes to Lacazette, he just waits for the keepers to go down. There's a great thing in, I think it's in Dennis Bergkamp's book, and it might be a little section written by Henri. Anyone, please correct me if I'm getting it wrong. But he said that Thierry wrote the section in the book and said that Dennis told me that you have to freeze the goalkeeper. So you have to kill him, basically. Just kill him dead. Wait for him to react. Once he's frozen, he's made his move, that's it. Then you shoot. And you've got to be calm and cool enough to be able to do that. And that was it. Just Lacazette is just like, yeah, I take my touch. Keep it on the floor now. Put it in the back of the net. Yeah, I just absolutely loved that. And he's... when you look at his stats and his goals and everything, when it comes, say, to come the end of the season, they might not look quite as impressive as Aubameyang or maybe another striker in the league or something like that. He might not have the same numbers. But I think in what he gives the team in overall work rate and how he makes the team function so much better, he's so important. I absolutely love Lacazette, and I think he's been a brilliant signing. And I wasn't overly keen on him when he first came in. I thought he struggled a little bit, but he adapted to the league, he got the physicality, he got past that injury, and I still think he's probably been our best player this season.
I totally agree. I think the way he brings players into the game is phenomenal.
His work rate from the front as well, he's such a pest.
But his awareness, okay, you know, I've got so much time for Lacazette. I don't like to say it because it will please Chris Carpenter, and that's not something I enjoy doing. But, you know, I mean, we spoke about Aubameyang on the last show, and somebody popped in with, but how can you say we're not getting the most and we got 13 goals out of him? But it's not so much the goals, it's your influence on the pitch. And I just see in 99% of what Lacazette does for us, there's a positive ambitious influence on what he does, you know. And I adore the guy. I think, you know, he's just a phenomenal performer for us this season. Last season we didn't see this as much, but kind of a different system, slightly different system, etc. Yeah. And obviously there were injury issues, but it's been brilliant this season. And we're going to come on to the next thing. Lacazette goes down in the box. There's a clash with Sarri. Now, there's a lot of people calling for a penalty. I've got to be honest with you, I just thought it was an awkward clash. I don't think there's any intention from anybody on it. As Steve pointed out in the group, that his elbow, Sarri's elbow caught Lacazette in the face, and that's why he was showing pain. I didn't think there's any intent. What were your thoughts?
I didn't think there was intent in sort of the arm, the failing arm. I just thought it was like mistimed bad tackle. It's a bit of coming together, but also just like clumsy. I think it's more clumsiness than anything else. Like, I don't think there's not any intent or anything like that, but you don't need the intent for necessarily there to be a penalty. I think the thing with it is, and I saw what some people were saying, was if that's Liverpool at Anfield Spurs at Wembley or something, then they get the penalty.
Some of the penalties we've seen Spurs get are an absolute disgrace, okay?
I don't mind saying it. So I can understand the call for a penalty. In the end, it didn't actually affect the game. Is it frustrating that we don't get those decisions and other teams do? Yes. Should they all be penalties? You have to take each one individually. Hopefully, again, like we've said it a few times, next season with VAR coming in, then those sort of things will be reviewed again afterwards and we'll get a penalty for it. In the end today, it didn't affect the game. So it's less of a talking point, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Corey Austin's just put something in the box, which has reminded me I haven't done yet. Hello, chat box. How are you? Hope you're all very well. Happy New Year to you all. Before I get into this, Black Scorpion, Ola's just come in with a new year, new run for the Arsenal, one love, and a £1.99 donation to annoy Danny, and I love that about you, Ola. Thank you ever so much. I really appreciate that, Ola, and thank you for your support. You're absolutely superb. But let's get back to the important thing. It's New Year's Day. Happy New Year to you all. There's 176 of you in this chat box at the moment. Oh, the likes are starting to go up. There were just 50 likes. It's now up to 57. I got 57 likes from 176 of you. Who the hell do you think you are? You come in here, you love the free content. Ooh la la, yeah, that's lovely, great. You all have a chat in the box. You tell us when we're right. You tell us when we're wrong. And we appreciate that. You give us stick. Steve's taking the mickey, thinking I'm looking like some geezer from the Big Bang Theory. I don't mind all that. But what I do mind is when you come in here and you're not giving us likes, okay? We get up for this. I feel rotten today. I'm in pain, but I'm still here for you. So be there for us. Be there. Be like John Welsh and a barmaid. Tappy tappy. Give it a quick tap. That's the winner there. Oh, yeah. Tap it. Go on. Tap that like button. I expect to see 90. Toot sweet. Come on. Let's get on with it. Stop shaming your parents. Stop shaming your family line. Stop shaming your country. Tap that like button and get on with it. Thank you ever so much. I can't keep back going. Definitely can't. I think that's my favourite so far. Be like John Welsh on a barmaid. Tap it. It's the way forward. Then we see mate. Leno save from Mitrovic header. Kamara goal. In the build-up to this, okay, right, there's a challenge on Torreira. A lot of people are calling foul, okay? Yeah. I tend to agree with them. I do think it's a foul, because I think the way he's come in and that. But you play to the whistle.
Yeah.
And the defending for the cross is utterly shameful. Again, Koscielny and Sokratis, they're nowhere, okay? And Kamara just comes in. It summed us up as a defensive unit, didn't it? It really did.
Yeah, I mean, Sokratis, Koscielny are all looking at the ball. Kolasinac is nowhere near Kamara. Guendouzi lets him run off his back and just doesn't react to it at all. The fact that the cross comes in the first place is criminal. I think the challenge was 50-50. Could have gone either way, whether it was a foul or not on Torreira, but you still have to play to the whistle. It's just, yeah. That was the whole thing today. I think everything was either, you know, a couple of yards over hit, a couple of yards under hit. You're taking a second too long on the ball. You're reacting a second too late to a runner going past you. You're a yard out of position, that kind of thing. And it just happened all like far too often. Thankfully for us, you know, Fulham only put one of their chances away because you had two from Sessegnon in the first half. You had the Mitrovic header just before the Kamara goal as well. I think Kamara had another chance where he was breaking into the box and he completely telegraphed what he was going to do, sliding it into Mitrovic when he probably should have just kept going. So, disappointing, but I don't know. But defence is something that needs sorting out, and we've been saying it for a while, and I don't think Emery's stupid enough not to realise that.
I don't think he is, but I just wonder what they work on, because, you know, it just all too often it seems to be basic stuff that we get wrong. And, you know, Sokratis had gone out to the edge of the box to try to defend. Why not hold your line? There are midfielders there to do that. And then he just stops, and the cross comes in, and it's just like, oh, you know, what are you doing, you monkey? What are you doing? You know, it just annoyed me. Koscielny, no better. Yeah. AMN's got to take some stick in this as well, to be fair. I just thought we're calamitous defensively, absolutely calamitous. And it was really, really annoying to watch, you know. We should be better than this by now. Oh yeah, everybody's telling me last season, a bit of coaching, you know, we can do better. Yeah, I do think, but I don't see where the coaching's coming out here. And that does annoy me a bit. Oh yeah, my next note, sorry. We have turned to shit. That's my next note. We have turned to shit. And we have. Okay, I just don't know what they're doing. We were crumbling at this point. There was a lot of Fulham pressure. And then Emery makes a substitution. And we both put, and chat box, you may or may not believe me, but in our chat box, it shows John and myself putting in what the fuck at exactly the same time. Okay? It's like, what's going on? Why are you taking off Lacazette? It's a thought by this point. Awobi had sort of, he was off the boil at that point. Guendouzi, I wasn't sure. I don't think he had the greatest game today. You could have done different things, but Lacazette comes off. Taboos, not for the fact that he's played badly, the fact that they're taking him off.
Yeah.
Emery's getting booed, yeah. Ramsey comes on. He gets a nice cheer when he comes on, to be fair, but it was just didn't seem like the right substitution for a team.
Playing devil's advocate for it. So I don't think you can take a midfielder off just because I think Fulham had changed their system slightly and Seri was causing us problems in midfield since he'd come on. He ended up setting up the goal. And he was the one who also played the pass for the header for Mitrovic that he probably should have scored with, to be honest, that he put straight at Leno. So I understand trying to shore up the middle, because we were losing that battle for that little 5-10 minute spell. The thing I would say is that you could have taken off Aubameyang instead of Lacazette. My only reasoning in sort of defence of Emery is if Fulham start to go for it a bit more, get a bit overconfident, then Aubameyang is better against the stretch team than maybe Lacazette is. That would be the sort of balanced argument to it, I guess. But I get the fans' reaction because I always think we play better with Lacazette on the pitch. And I've got to say as well, I really liked Lacazette's reaction, because, you know, he was clearly upset and annoyed that he was coming off again. But the fact, you know, the crowd started to turn, but then he was, you know, like saying, no, get behind the team. You know, it's fine for me to be annoyed, but stay with the team, and that's brilliant attitude to have. I really, really like that.
But he's shown that attitude his whole time here, to be fair to him. I've got so much time for this guy, it's beyond belief. Chat box, 76 likes. 76. That's not good enough, and you know it. Come on, 90, please. Toot sweet. Let's get going. I'm not happy, bunny. Tappy tappy. There you go. Then we get the Rambo goal. Some good interplay. The Aubameyang shot off the post and Ramsey dead-eyed. All of a sudden, the manager's vindicated, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. A genius substitution. Absolutely knew it was going to happen. we get a brilliant bit of luck with where the ball falls, but it's a great first touch from Ramsey, who just kills it dead and it's superb finish. Puts it where there's no chance of the defender or the goalkeeper getting it. That's what he's good at. He's in the box before the Aubameyang shot, screaming, you know, he's in space as it is, no one around him, sort of within a couple of yards. So, yeah, just in the right place, right time. All-time top goal scorer in central midfielder for Arsenal. Longest serving player at the club.
Leave it go.
I'm gonna start tearing up in a minute.
That'll be May. May will be time to cry. Oh, you know. Then we get Rico saving from Aubameyang. Good save. Iwobi comes off. I thought Iwobi played well.
Yeah.
I thought there's some ridiculous moments from him, some poor ones. But yeah. I thought overall very positive in the game. He just needs to get that consistency in his decision making right, doesn't he? And then you get the Aubameyang goal. And from a corner, ball comes out. As we're coming back, Sokratis picks the ball up. It was a lovely ball from Sokratis. You've got to give him credit. Yeah. He knew where Aubameyang was. It was a beautiful ball. Aubameyang he takes the shot, does get deflection, but he needed the goal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, because he missed a few chances up to that point. We had a very early one within the first minute or two at the near post that he put wide. He had a header that he missed the target with. And then the chance just before that where Rico made a good save, but you would have expected Aubameyang to either go around the keeper or put it over him. And that was his first one on target. So, again, he's got that. You can't complain about him because the amount of goals he's got is kind of ridiculous. But he does tend to need a few chances to get his goal. But he always gets them. So I'm not going to complain. He'll take the deflection all day long and he'll take that goal.
It's one of those, isn't it? I look at Aubameyang. I like him as a player. We don't play to his strengths, so it's difficult to ask him to have a massive amount of impact on the game. But... You know, it's really, what can you say? You know, what can you say? We have a well-defended piece, a bit of play from Fulham to stop AMN later, and then the game kind of peters out.
Yeah.
4-1 win. We deserved that, to be fair. We were the better team, but it was a poor performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think 4-1 really tells the story of the game. If you just look at that, you think, oh, okay, we've stomped Fulham and they've probably got like a late consolation goal or something like that. But, you know, we were poor. We were very all over the place defensively. But, I mean, I thought we were bad at times in defence, but Fulham were shocking. Like, their fans. God. Yeah.
But to be fair, you know, after Jankovic... Ranieri's got a hell of a job to do. You don't change that overnight, do you?
No, that is massive. But I mean, I'm thinking down the years of Premier League teams, like Huddersfield are obviously pretty bad this season.
Yeah.
Fulham, they kind of remind me, they're like an exciting derby. Do you remember the season when Derby were up and they got like 9 points?
Yeah.
Like defensively, they look as bad as that. But yeah, I mean, Archie put in the chat, Fulham gave up quite literally. They did. I mean, when that third goal went in, you could see their players just went, nah, I can't be bothered now.
A head dropped, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, unreal. I've never seen a team like that poor. But look, I'll take the win. Performance was not there. We just needed the result after the Liverpool game. And we need to get back in a few wins before the Chelsea one coming up this month. It's going to be the big one.
Yeah, it's going to be massive, that game. It's going to be absolutely massive for us. Okay, so questions then. Jeffrey O'Hara was first in with questions. And he said, would Sessegnon get in our team ahead of Iwobi on the left? What's your thoughts?
I don't really get in ahead of. I mean, look, he's a good player and he's quick, but you saw he made the wrong decisions today and his final product wasn't there either. So they're slightly different kind of players, but I'm not sure one's necessarily better than the other. But Sessegnon's a real talent and he's got promise. He's obviously younger than Iwobi. I don't think Iwobi is a write-off like everyone says as well.
I agree with you. It's difficult.
He's the only player on our team who can carry the ball. You give him the ball on a halfway line, you see how far he gets it up the pitch. He might make a decision at the end of it, but he's so good at carrying the ball. And no one else takes the ball and runs at players. You know,
this is the thing. We just need to coach him decision making wise. You know, that's the one thing, because if he converts a few more of the chances of the good spaces he gets into and creates, you know, better balls in from there, you know, is a bit more effective. He becomes a real tool, you know, weapon for us, so to speak. I think Alex Iwobi's got so much potential. But now's the time to get decision-making right.
Yeah. Because, I think if you look at Iwobi's performance today in terms of what he's done with Kolasinac, they seem to like have a very good understanding. It's starting to really develop there, understanding each other's runs, the movement, the little interplay and balls and stuff he does, the back heels. I think it's all great. It's his crossing that lets him down. But then you look at the Liverpool game, he got, you know, decent delivery for that. And then today as well, the ball into Xhaka. You know, that's not an aimless ball into the box. That's a man free running into the middle of the box. I'm picking him out. So yeah.
No. Look, you've got to acknowledge the good along with the bad. You know, it's a difficult situation. He's got 120 games under his belt now.
Yeah.
You know, he needs now to kick on.
Yeah.
Frank Gunner asks, is the Cahill to Arsenal rumour true? From what we've heard, yes, it is. Yeah, and it'll shore up the defence. Whatever your thoughts on Cahill, there's a lot of experience. I think you'll help us out, and because we've got no money to spend, so you know, forget about Koulibaly, right? honestly, Unique 79. Why do we have a habit of missing easy chances, John?
I don't know. We said it earlier, you know, Aubameyang tends to need a few chances to score, which is, it's annoying, but I mean, I look at Cavani, I look at Suarez, there's a lot of players around Europe that are the same, that if you watched a full 90 minutes and just watched every highlight of a chance that they had of, you know, shots on goal, how many of them they waste. You'd probably be shocked. You'd be like, oh, hang on a minute. I thought these guys are some of the best strikers in the world. It just happens. I do think we do need to be more clinical. I wouldn't say it's necessarily those guys. It's more the, you know, when Iwobi gets a chance, he should take it better. When the centre-backs are up for a corner and they get a free header, they should be doing better with it. I think all you want from your players is to at least hit the target, you know, and hopefully not put it straight at the goalkeeper as well. So I just think we're lacking other player, like goals from other areas in the pitch, like consistent amount of goals. I know there's been a lot, everyone sort of scored goals in the team, but consistently getting a midfielder who scores more goals is what we feel like we're missing.
No, absolutely. It happens in football, doesn't it? All the greats do. I remember I was at a... Who's the boy? He went to United from Newcastle. He was on our youth books, went to Bristol City. Andy Cole needed 3-4 chances a game, you know, but he always got that goal, and that was the important part. Right, so Pete Colson asks next. We're both going to talk about this, not too long, but he says, Pete Colson says, the honeymoon period is over, yeah? No, he says, in the French, no, actually, but are we not where we expected to be post-Wenger? Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're 16 points off top before today's game. When Liverpool play Cardiff, it'll be back to 16 points. Defence hasn't improved at all. The 22-game unbeaten run was nice. It was lovely. It was all credit to Emery. I think, you know, he deserves a lot of credit to that. But the losses against Southampton, the hammering against Liverpool, he has to take responsibility for. You know, and today's performance, although it's a 4-1 win, I'm not sure exactly how much progress we've actually made, because I don't see us being anywhere better than we were last season. You know, you can, away form is better, no doubt. No, you know, that's there in black and white for everyone to see. But I think Emery needs to pull his socks up. I really do. I think he needs to get to a core way of playing, stop changing the tactics about so much. I know injuries, everybody's had injuries. We've always had injuries. But are we really any further on this season as to last season? I don't think we are.
I don't think we're massively improved from last season in any way. Are we where I expected us to be? I said around fourth or fifth, I think, before the season started. So in that terms, I thought, yes, I didn't think we'd be anywhere near the top. I thought we'd still be way off. You know, I thought it would be City and Chelsea, to be honest, at the top, not Liverpool. But there you go. So I think we're kind of on par for where I expected. The one thing I would say is, I hope Emery, he needs to, like you said, he needs to settle on a formation and a setup and just try and play that week in, week out. It's very difficult at the moment, though, with so many injuries. I think that's the big issue. And I know other teams have got injuries, but we've got so many in the same area. And I think he just, a lot of players in this team, he just does not trust at all.
What annoys me is, you know, well, let's come to it now, actually. But, you know, you get the press release via Ornstein yesterday. You know, it looks like Ramsey's talking to Real Madrid, Juve, PSG, Inter. It looks like he's turned down €300 a week from PSG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so money's not the big thing. Juve looks a possibility for him. But for a guy who comes in, I've got detailed files on all the players. I know all your players. I'm going to build a team around Aaron Ramsey, blah, 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 blah. And now we're letting him go for free due to footballing reasons.
Yeah.
It stinks of bollocks. And the club are trying to cover up the fact that we've screwed the pooch on this one again.
Yeah, I mean, I can't put too much. I don't think that's Emery's partly to blame, you know, for the Ramsey thing. I mean, he has, you know, there's been statements saying that after assessment and watching Ramsey and whatever for this period of time, Emery changed his mind and decided that he doesn't fit his system and style of play. Now, if that's the truth, then fair enough. I don't have a problem with that. It's, at the end of the day, it should be down to the coach and the manager, you know, who plays in the team. That's fine. The fact that we're losing him and we've left, you know, possibly 50 million quid on the table is kind of ridiculous in terms of what we could have got for him maybe last summer. But that's the club. That's, you know, whether that's you want to blame Gazidis or you want to blame the new regime or whatever, that's a separate issue.
This is my issue. We're leaving 50 million quid walk out the door for nothing.
Yeah.
And that's my big point, because we haven't got any money to spend in January. Yeah. I don't think we're going to have a massive amount of money to spend in the summer. We're posting a loss of 70 million quid this year. Okay. If you sell on Ramsey for 50 million quid, if you sell Jack Wilshere for 20 million quid, there's your 70 million quid.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my big issue. The club, you know, needs to start taking responsibility here, because it ain't going to improve when we keep on leaving players who have a market value walk out the door for nothing. It's ridiculous. And it's a real bee in my bonnet, you know.
I hope that the club sorts these things out and addresses these contract problems and stuff, because it's been going on for years now. It's not like this is a new thing. You know, like the Ozil's ridiculously inflated wages are partly down to the way his contract was handled, and Sanchez's as well. So they're all bundled together. It's difficult to deal with. Whatever anyone was about to say about Ramsey, I think he'll, if he's here till the end of the season, he'll be professional and he'll play and he'll put in a performance for the shirt. There's no doubt he loves the club and he's got great affection for it. Wherever he goes, I hope he's, you know, successful. But I just think that the mishandling of that, mishandling of Ozil's contract, Sanchez, the money we've given Mkhitaryan, you know, Danny Welbeck, Petr Cech, so many players, we've cocked up their contracts, and you know, it's going to cost us in terms of what we can invest in.
But the problem we got is we don't set market value. These players would get that money elsewhere. Okay, they will get it elsewhere. You know, and I mean, it's not so much about Ramsey staying or going. I don't give a monkeys about that. Yeah. You know, it's about the fact we'll leave him go for nothing, which is really, really frustrating. You know, Danny Welbeck, to be fair, has been a good servant to the club. Petr Cech's been a good servant. You know, you can look at all you want. The Mesut Ozil wages thing is an absolute joke. Absolute joke. You know, but hey-ho, there we go. I don't have much faith in it changing in a positive manner. I really don't. I think we'll be shopping bargain basement at the moment for the next couple of transfer windows, and that worries me. Unique79 asks, are we feeling the effect of, in our defence, of Holding being out injured for the rest of the season? I think we do, as if having a player down. I genuinely thought Holding was good for us, but the way he was spoken about, the people are talking about him as an England call-up, and I thought that was a massive overreaction to his form. What did you think?
He was probably our most consistent defender. He still had issues and still made mistakes up until his injury, but I do think he was a calming influence in the back, which is amazing to say considering the sort of trajectory his career's gone. He's jumped from Bolton to Arsenal to this level of football. But I do think it's a massive loss. Yeah, I do. I just think if he's still available, you don't have to rush Koscielny and you don't have to put Mustafi in. You can play maybe four at the back more consistently and not change around the defence. And if you're switching from, you know, if you're switching the defence about so much, it makes the rest of the team selection a lot harder as well, because you have to get players who complement your defence in their style of play. So just makes it more difficult. Priyash comes in with another donation. Thank you, Priyash. During Wenger's era, we complained about lack of formation changes, and now under Emery era, we complain about lacking of sticking to one formation. It's got a point.
It's the way it is. It's the way it is. Yeah. The problem is, you know, we changed to the Liverpool game, then we've changed back. You know what I mean? You can't keep on chopping and changing that often. What you want is a solid way of playing and then a plan B if it doesn't work.
The thing is, I don't know what our best team is, and I don't know what our best formation is, and I'm not sure Emery does either.
But that's another question, isn't it? That's another question. Onwards. Priyash, thank you ever so much. You're an absolute rock star, mate. By the way, you know, let's hope Rob Holding gets back to football quickly. Mm. You know, that's a horrendous injury for a young man.
They showed some pictures of him in the gym doing some like rehab work already, so that's good news.
Fingers crossed for the boys. I like Rob Holding, a lot of time for him. Daniel Croning asks, will we try to sell Ozil in January?
This is going to be really, really tough if we try to. I'm not sure. No, I think the club would be open to offers. It's clear that the manager doesn't trust him. I'm not sure it's a case of him not rating him. I don't think anyone with a brain says that Ozil was not a good footballer, because he clearly is. I think he's the most talented player in our squad, but it's when he wants to be is the problem. Let's take the flip side of it. Let's say all of those injuries are genuine, like the knee injury he's got at the moment and the back problems and everything else. And every single time he's been out injured, they've all been real. Even if that's the case, you can't be paying him that much money if he's going to be injured that much. So I think you have to think about letting him go. And the other big thing as well is, until he goes, that's a huge chunk of money in wages that you can't spend on others and to get other players in. So look, I don't think there's going to be any realistic possible move for him in January. I think it's more likely going to be a summer thing. And it may be a case of, we do some sort of lump sum to get him to go, because he won't be able to get the same wages he's on here.
We're going to have to subsidise it somehow, aren't we? Because, you know, I can't see anybody, unless he goes to PSG.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't see Real wanting him back. I don't see Barcelona wanting him. Mm. I don't see United wanting him. Okay? Unless it's a club like that, you're going to have to subsidise the wages.
Yeah, well, I mean, Inter were very serious on the interest with him, but I mean, Inter can't afford the wages that we're paying. So they'd be able to say, I mean, they'd be able to give him very good wages and him not pay any tax because it's Italy and, you know, things happen. But yeah, we'd have to either give some sort of payoff settlement or whatever, and the fee for him would be, you know, tiny. In a sense, like Inter would almost be paying a just like a little bit of a release thing and actually just chucking a, we'd be sort of giving money to Inter, who'd then pay a certain amount back to us, but then a chunk of that will go to Ozil as yeah. This is what you're making up for in lost wages.
It's a horrendous situation for us, isn't it? Mm. Right, Nicky Wilson's been a twat here, so let's call him on it, is it? You know, Nicky gives it the big eye arm all the time. So, John, what do you think of Ramsey? Nicky Wilson asks, what do you think of Ramsey getting booed when coming on for Laka? Boos for Laka coming off, and even louder when Ramsey came on.
I think TalkSport said that, didn't they? They said that Ramsey got booed when he came on. Jesus. Very, very good, Nicky. Very good. I do remember the crowd singing "Sign him up" when he scored a goal. I heard them singing that. I didn't hear the boos for Ramsey. That was definitely for Unai. But it's nice of our fans to be booing a manager 6 months into his contract.
I think, look, that's the game nowadays.
It's so pantomime, though, isn't it?
But football always has been pantomime. It always has been pantomime, and it always will be. And that's the way it is. And, you know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth, you know? Mm. You're never going to have an Arsene Wenger come in and win the double in his first full season unless you're spending a shed full of money nowadays, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. It is difficult. And, you know, Unai Emery, regardless of whether I'm happy with whatever's happening or not, doesn't really matter. He has to have a full season.
Yeah.
To, you know, and to go from there, you have to give him time. It's unfair not to. John Bernstein asks, I know the ref is shit and I didn't call anything, but when are our players going to learn to play to the whistle? Do they think they're playing in Spain?
Yeah, I don't know. We said this is like for the goal they scored, you know, Guendouzi's head's turned, Torreira's on the floor, a few players are reacting to the foul on him. You've got to play to the whistle. The other thing I would say as well, is we've got to be a bit more cynical in the way we get round the referee. Look, we used to complain. Oh, do you remember how many times we used to play Barcelona and we'd complain about their whole team being surrounding the ref? We'd just do it.
Yeah, you've got to play with your own game, and obviously we're having the arse end of refereeing decisions at the moment. You can see that by the number of players banned for 5 yellow cards, etc.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. But we've got to be a bit smarter. That hasn't changed, unfortunately.
I mean, the one thing I would say is that when Socrates or Lichtsteiner get fouled, the referee knows that they've been fouled.
Yeah. Oh, to be fair, Socrates is on the floor at the end of the game. It was the young kid he hardly touched him.
Yeah.
It was beautiful to watch, to be fair, from him. It was like the big tough guy. Oh, you must have clobbered him. He's on the floor writhing in pain. So, you know, all credit to Socrates there. Pete Colson asks, it seems we're all here to mourn. We've spoken about that one. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for that. It's a really good point, to be fair, mate. Gunnar73 asks, is Emery's reputation for working place hard in training and attention to detail justified?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I think in terms of fitness, it is. I think the players look fitter. I think that's been evident this season. Tactically, not so far, I would say. I think some of our set piece plays have been good. We've seen a few like pretty cool ones that he's clearly worked on the training ground. That's something that we've haven't really done for a long time. But defensively, no, not at all, to be perfectly honest.
And the evidence isn't there, you know, the evidence backs that up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Unique79 asks, and it's a question for myself and only myself. Chase, be honest. Do you think Wenger and Gazidis left us in a mess? Please be absolutely honest. No. I've got to be honest with you. I think it's a bit more difficult than that, I think. Okay, so John will tell you, and he does have a really good point, that the squad is unbalanced, okay? But we had a transfer window in June to bring in top quality defenders or whatever. We've gone and got Torreira, Guendouzi, Leno, great. Sokratis, I think, and Lichtsteiner, and no shows. I don't think they're good signings at all. I think the truth of the matter is Aubameyang was a signing from Sven and Ivan. You know, we've spent £100 million in the last three transfer windows on strikers, where we could have done different things. I think the problem we got is we've brought in a manager and we haven't brought in the right personnel for the way he wants to play. We should have gone for probably a better quality centre-back. But I think as well, Unai decided that it was right to let Chambers leave for Fulham on a season's loan, when actually having Callum Chambers here now would have been a lot better. The financial side of it, that's down to Kroenke buying out Usmanov and a £550 million loan against the club, which the club has to pay the interest on, etc. Just to buy Usmanov out. So there are your financial issues. The club is posting a £70 million loss. We don't have a pot to piss in this January, okay? But we spent enough money in the summer that we could have probably spent that a bit better.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I don't think that it's a case of we didn't have money. I just think it was we bought poorly.
Yeah. And I think this is the big thing. I've said it regularly on here.
And I would say it's not Emery's signings. Like, the only thing I would say is an Emery signing is Guendouzi.
I don't think any of them are, to be honest with you, mate.
He was one he was following when he was at PSG. Yeah.
But he let him go, didn't he? He let him go.
No. He wasn't a young PSG lad. He was following him and wanted to bring him in, apparently.
And wasn't he at PSG and allowed to leave for Lorient? That's what I think.
He might have been loaned out there, I'm not sure.
No. We bought him from Lorient. I'm pretty sure.
You have to check with the pirate.
But I think the big thing is here, okay? The big thing is here is that we've spoken about it enough on here anyway. If Sven's in charge of recruitment, Raul's director of football, they have to work together with Emery to bring in the right players. That obviously hasn't happened yet. I know it's only been one transfer window, but you know, you know the style Emery wants to play when he's at the interview. He's going to tell you how he wants to play. So if, you know, Aaron Ramsey wasn't going to be part of the solution, sell him for 50 million quid, get Koulibaly in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you ain't affording Koulibaly this January, and don't think we're going to be able to afford him next year now. You know, you have the opportunity, if you sell the players which you think, well, I'm not really sure they're going to be part of the future, you have the opportunity to sell them, get good money for them, and then move forward. It's not just down to Ivan and Arsene. Could Arsene have left a better squad? Yeah, I think he could have. I do. But I don't think they left us in a mess. And that's my honest opinion, you know?
It's not as bad as Ferguson left United.
Yeah, absolutely. But look at it. You know, we had the summer. Look what we brought in. We brought in, you know, Torreira, Guendouzi, Leno, I think great signings. Got no problem with it whatsoever. Sokratis and Lichtsteiner? I thought Lichtsteiner would give more than he has. I'm really surprised at how poor he is at the moment.
Juve don't let players go unless they're shit.
Yeah, you know? And I think it was Andrew Thompson, I saw a tweet the other day, Andrew Thompson, who follows German football. He used to be on the show and thing, and said, there's a reason why Dortmund are doing so well and we're doing so poorly after that transfer of Sokratis. And I'm sorry, but it's there. If you actually watch the games and take the thing off, he's just not good enough. Okay? And that's the way it is. You may disagree, but I think our defensive record shows it all.
Just quickly, Nicky Wilson, we got offered 50 million for Ramsey from Man United. So there was offers for him.
Yeah. So there you go, Nicky. Liverpool were knocking on our door, you know, in the summer. We could have sold him, you know. And if he's not Arsenal, you know, he's not Arsenal quality. So, you know, what can I say? Fuck him and his ego. Mad Wired. Oh, here we go. MSM25 asks, please, I heard Ramsey's in talks with Juventus. Would you swap him with Douglas Costa?
Would I swap Ramsey with Douglas Costa? Yes.
Yeah, Juventus aren't going to do that.
Yeah. Juventus aren't doing that anytime soon. So, look, that'd be lovely. But it's not going to happen. Also, I'm not sure we could go to Juve and go, here, do you want this player who's out of contract, who you can sign without having anything to do with us, and we'll take Douglas Costa?
We would swap him for Douglas Costa in a heartbeat, but it ain't happening.
No.
You know, Mad Wired asks, I felt like Lacazette provided a focal point for us today, slowed the game down, won us free kicks, all the dirty stuff. Why did Emery not start him against Liverpool?
Very good question. I've got no idea. I don't understand it. But again, the only devil's advocate argument I can give is we expect to have less of the ball. We're at Anfield with the away team. We're going to be slightly more defensive, try and hit them on the break. And Aubameyang is good for that. But my argument to that would, counter argument to that would be, is that Lacazette holds the ball up much better and brings people into play.
Yeah,
but, you know, Aubameyang is very good at getting in behind. That's his strength.
Thing is, the ball just kept on coming back to Anfield. Yeah. And
I don't think it would have made any fucking difference whether you started Lacazette or not against Liverpool, to be honest.
They think far better than this. Yeah. Marcus Hodges asks, why is every transfer window we hear Arsenal have no money, but we'll look to spend in the next window? Then the next window comes around and we hear it again. I'll answer this, okay? Marcus, in all fairness, okay, this window, we don't have any money. We were posting a £70 million loss. There's a £550 million loan to buy out Usmanov and Kroenke. We have spent in the last, you know, summer before last, spent £50 million on Lacazette. Last January, we spent £50 million on Aubameyang. There's £35 million on Leno, £25 million on Torreira.
I think we spent a total of just around 100 million this summer.
Like, yeah. So, you
know, I don't know what the net was, but yeah, that was what we
spent. We have spent money, okay? Mm. We haven't spent money well, in my opinion, but there you have it, okay? But the problem we got now is with that loan to buy Usmanov and the loss we've posted, you know, we need Champions League football badly. We needed to win the Europa Cup, it's this season. You know, because I don't see us getting top four anymore. I really don't.
And 74 million. Sorry, my bad. I knew it was something.
What's that?
It was 74 million. We spent not 100.
Yeah. But it's this side of it of, you know, we have spent money, and that's the misconception, is that we've never spent money. We have. Hmm. Have we spent it well? No, I don't think so. I think, you know, we knew Koscielny's over 30. We knew he had tendonitis problems. Do you know what I mean? We know Nacho's hitting 30. You know, we there's all these things they do rack up after a while. John Steve-O asks, what do you reckon to a team with Arsenal's ticket prices and resources needing to look at loan player recruitment and having to cut costs? Are we being rogered by Stan's Rams? I bear me a second. Gunnar 73 then asks, it's been reported that an email has been sent to all departments at Arsenal saying that savings need to be made. Does this scare the shit out of you?
Well, the email that's been sent round could just be to the administration people because someone's been stealing the stapler. excuse me. Oh, see, look, I choked on that. I almost believed it.
Yeah, the first time you've choked on it as a fella.
But look, for the money that people spend, should the football be better? Should we be doing better? Yes. Look, ticket prices is a separate issue in a way because the market dictates the price. If people are willing to pay that price, that's what the price will be. If people stop going, the prices go down. That's just normal market forces. So until people stop buying the tickets, they're not going to go down. They'll continue to go up, if anything, if there's still more demand from, regardless of what's happening with the football. Sad matter of fact, that's just, you know, capitalism. In terms of being shit scared for money spent, yeah, like January, having to get loan players. Look, I get the Cahill loan if it does go through. I'm not...
You don't like him, that's fair enough.
I'm really not. I'm not happy about it, to be honest. It's I understand it. We're short on players at the back and we need some stability. Fine. But does bringing Gary Cahill in, a guy who cannot get in to the Chelsea team, a team that play out from the back and like ball-playing defenders, just like Emery does, you know, Sarri loves that as well, which is why one of the reasons why Cahill is not playing. Is he going to fit in our team or make us any better? I don't think he's going to make us better. Is he going to give us more cover? Yes. Is there any point in spending whatever the money is on him? If it's a tiny amount of money, then maybe it's negligible. If it's not a tiny amount of money and those wages could be spent somewhere else, or we could just go, you know what, we'll just wait until the summer until the centre-back we want is available and just bring in one of the kids from the youth team and just give them game time. You know, but I know that's a risk.
But the devil's advocate to that. Mm-hmm. We need to get into Champions League. We have to get into Champions League.
Does signing Gary Cahill alone get us into Champions League? I don't know.
Well, he's won the Champions League, so to be fair, he's going to give you more of a chance. Hold up, yeah. He's got more of a chance than somebody from the youth team who hasn't. Do you know what I mean? That's my. I'm not saying you're wrong.
What I'm saying is,
at least he'll give us experience cover, which should help us if we get another injury. You know, more pace than Socrates.
Mm.
Okay. More football under his belt and not the injury that Koscielny's had. Doesn't go to ground as often as Mustafi.
Perhaps, but what I would say is that Cahill was a very good defender when he was playing next to John Terry, and we don't have a John Terry.
That's fair enough, that's fair enough. I mean, well, look, one of the things here, are we being rogered by Stan's Rams? Could Stan be a more benevolent owner? Of course he could. Okay, he's using us. He is using us, this club. You know? It does scare the shit out of me. It really does, because if we don't get the next two transfer windows right, we could be in real problems. And I mean, we could be in deep stuck if we don't get the next two transfer windows right. The truth of the matter is, though, the club should be self-sustaining. And, you know, we should have a new kit deal with Adidas on the table come next summer. You know, the Emirates deal's just been redone and what have you. That should be a hell of a lot more money. I don't really know what's going on. We're never going to be able to look at the books again.
No.
You know,
but this is the thing, we will never know whether money that Arsenal are spending is money we've made or money Stan's put in
from here on.
We're not going to know that. So it's hard to judge him on that. I mean, the Rams are doing very well this season in the NFL when they're into the playoffs and whatever. So, you know, they restructured their coaching team and stuff, and that was more down to Josh. So they've had investment, and obviously, there's the big thing with the stadium development, but. The big stadium development has all been put on hold. So it's actually the Rams are costing him a lot of money at the moment. So there is a realistic chance that he's trying to take money out of Arsenal to tide the Rams over until that stadium development can go ahead. Because I think it got delayed. I'm not sure how long for, but it's been put on hold for a bit.
Yeah. But the big thing for us is the triad of Unai, Sven and Raul working together to get the best of the transfer windows. Stop this nonsense of leaving players with great market value, leave for nothing. You know, I love the Nicky Wilson comment again, or who's going to pay 50 million quid for Ramsey when you had Liverpool paying 40 million quid for the Ox.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You have a body of work there. We should have re-signed Jack and had 20 million for Jack, you know, because West Ham would have paid 20 million for Jack all day long, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things.
It's just some like money that you've left on the table that you didn't need to. That's the frustration. I mean, the thing is, like, even if Stan is not investing in Arsenal, the gate revenue and our sponsorship deals, like especially the new one, obviously with Adidas that will be coming in, is great. The big thing is we have to get Champions League. Like,
yeah,
I don't think if we don't get it this season, I think it's way more damaging for us than people realize. Like a hell of a lot.
Do you know what? If we don't get Champions League this season, I don't think we'll see it for another 3 or 4 years.
Well, remember how long Liverpool were out of it?
Yeah.
I think you might end up going through something like that. Which, look, Liverpool still had like a level of success because they still went up.
Yeah, but Liverpool could sell Suarez for how much? Yeah. Coutinho for 100 million.
I think that's the route that we have to go down now. Is but Liverpool is that kind of thing.
When Liverpool were on the verge of losing Suarez, they re-signed him to another contract, then sold him for 80 million quid, over it, whatever it was. Yeah. They sell Coutinho for 100 million quid. We're leaving 50 million quid, 60, 70 million quid maybe, walk out the door for nothing. That's my problem.
Well, we have to hope that Raul, Sven, Vinay, that's the commercial guys in it, yeah.
Yeah.
That they...
He's the MD.
Yeah, yeah. Now we'll rein it in and start to get those things sorted.
But you say that, but Raul's the one who's pulled the contract off the table.
But then if they've pulled the contract, they should have sold him. Yeah, that's what... That's, yeah,
do you know what I mean?
But I mean, the thing is, they've pulled the contract outside the transfer window. It's after the summer window's gone. No, I don't get it either, Jace.
At the moment, I'm really concerned. I really am.
But then I can easily complain about Gazidis and the rest of them chucking 350 grand a week at Ozil as well.
Yeah, and look, let's be honest, okay? Yeah.
200 grand a week.
Yeah, no. That's fair. That's more than fair comment. I'm no Gazidis fan, you know that. Mm. I'm a massive Arsene Wenger fan, but it was the right, Arsene should have gone the season before, in my opinion, after the Chelsea game.
Yeah.
But, we are where we are. A couple more questions and we're off. Marcus Codge just thinks, anybody else think Coz is a terrible captain? He says nothing to the refs, doesn't back up other players who receive unfair attacks, etc. Koscielny, I find it strange Koscielny being named captain because A, he was out injured, and B, he's an introvert. He's never been, he's never been loud, has he? He's never been a gregarious guy in the park. You will see him talk to refs on some occasions, but he's an introvert. He's a bit like Mesut Ozil in that respect. He's not the captain I'd pick, to be honest with you, Marquis. What about you, John?
At the time of the players that were left, I know everyone's going to laugh, the people who don't like Aaron Ramsey, but I would have made Ramsey captain if it wasn't for the contract situation.
Rub it in.
It would have been the sensible choice, but because of his contract, I understand why they didn't do it. The only other player I think who would have made more sense for me was probably Nacho. I think would have made a good captain.
I'd have gone for Xhaka.
Yeah, right. I mean, speaking as a Gladbach fan who saw Xhaka's last season, first half of the season, he was very annoying as captain because he'd argue with the ref so much that he'd end up getting himself sent off. Second half of the season, he was great. And he really improved in that. And he did do a proper captain's role. But yeah, I get it.
I look at it like this.
Imagine the fan base if you gave Xhaka the captain's armband.
I don't care. I really don't care. To me, there were only really two options, and that was Xhaka or Rambo. Okay. Ramsey is an introvert, like Koscielny, like thing. Yes, he'll speak when he needs to and what have you, but he's not that guy. Do you know what I mean? At least with Xhaka, he's in the face of the referee. Yes, like against Liverpool, he had a mad 2 minutes and he lost his shit. You know what I mean? But I just think that point of being in the captain, being in the referee's face, sometimes you have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the reason. Richard Garrett asks, which fan base are the most critical and abusive in the Premier League? When Liverpool don't were shit, don't remember them the same under same pressure. Oh, I think there was. I think they're all the same.
They absolutely slaughtered their team.
Yeah. I think they're all the same.
I think every fan base is generally pretty abusive. I think it's funny. So as Arsenal fans, if you look at fans of other clubs, and I don't mean other clubs within the top six, I mean sort of mid-table to the bottom half of the table. So we speak to Ross a lot, the Southampton fan. Used to do a podcast with us, been on here a few times as well. Really nice guy, knows his football, very smart. And he always laughs at Arsenal fans in the things that we complain about, because he always goes, it must be such a chore to complain about whether you're starting Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang or Alexandre Lacazette up front. And which one is scoring you more goals? That must be an absolute disaster. Oh, we only won the FA Cup this season. Oh, woe is me. And I get his point. And I always say back to him, say, well, but we want to be winning the league and stuff. And he said, well, yeah, but look at your history. And traditionally, you have a good period for a few years and then 10 years where you don't really challenge for the title, 10, sometimes 20 years, sometimes longer, where you're not really challenging for the league and you might win a few FA Cups or something. And it's a really good point. So I think it's all on perspective based, but fans of every club, they tear into their team and are more abusive. We just see it, obviously, because you follow other Arsenal fans, you follow all the media things about Arsenal, you don't really care anything about Liverpool. And when you see criticism of Liverpool, you're not really paying attention to who's saying it, you're just laughing.
I think it's a fair comment. I think we're all the same. I've got to be honest here. You know, you look at sort of Italian football, you know, you look at Sporting Lisbon last season where they attacked the team, they got into the training ground,
we should say allegedly the president lit the ultras into the training ground to beat the team up.
Yeah, it's crazy. Last question from Ariane Hidari. If you'd sign a centre back and a left wing or a right wing, who would it be?
Oh Christ! Do you want dream signing or realistic ones?
Let's have a dream and realistic. So you give the dream.
Okay.
I'll give the realistic.
Okay. Dream signing would be Skriniar from Inter Milan. It would screw my Inter Milan team up, but he's an absolute monster. And he's a proper leader as well. He's still very young in terms of centre back. I think he's early 20s, 23 maybe. But yeah, he's a proper beast.
Where's he from?
Is he Serbian maybe? I've probably just really insulted him. I'm going to look him up now. Milan Skriniar. I know Man United were looking at him and quite a few other teams. Oh no, he's not Serbian. He's Slovakian. Yeah, 23, 6'2". He's an absolute lump. Easiest way to describe him is like sort of mix between Prime Vidic and Ivanovic.
Yeah. You just buy him. Let's go buy him.
Yeah.
The realistic option on that is Ashley Williams or Johnny Evans.
Had to be a Welshman as well, didn't it?
Oh, mate. You know, had to get in there, didn't I? Crack on. Next one.
Left wing or right winger, dream signing. I don't really have a dream signing for a wide player because they're so sort of, there's not a lot of them around anymore, like traditional ones.
Come on.
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone now.
Hey, Adrian Haddad, he talks you up every week.
Oh, I know. It's terrible. Jimmy Carter and Stefanos Loki's coming with.
Come on, come with somebody.
Look, okay, well, the Pepe guy at Lille is supposed to be good, but I don't think he's worth the 80 million that people are talking about. I'm going to chuck another Inter Milan player in there. I do like Politano. He's a good player. He's pretty good.
What Perisic?
Eh?
Oh, no, I wouldn't go for Perisic.
He's not bad, mate.
I don't think he suits us anyway. In reality, okay? In reality, Andros Townsend.
Oh, go away.
Or Wayne Routledge.
Oh, my word. Dreadful. That's part of it.
Hey, but Chris has told us Lamar is close. Yes. I haven't had a dig at Chris all game, you know. Him and Ramsey's ego, they go together like...
There is a weird thing in the. I know lots of people laughed at the Dembele when Chris said about Usman Dembele from Barca.
Yeah,
but there is still, I think, a realistic chance of possibly a loan. The problem is, he's an absolute nightmare in terms of training and turning up late.
But again, you know, so you get him on loan. I don't think he'd be on massive wages at Barca, really. I don't think he's on big wages. But I just, you know, all the nonsense that comes with that guy. You know, it's beyond the pale, you know.
The one thing is, huge friends with Aubameyang, and maybe that was...
Yeah, but he was friends with Aubameyang at Dortmund. It still didn't stop him fucking Dortmund over, did it?
He started doing that when Aubameyang left.
No. He left before Aubameyang.
Really? Before? Oh, maybe he did.
He's gone before then. Yeah. He's gone, mate. He's gone. Right, okay. That's it for today, guys. We've had enough now. And we've gone far too long. I need to crawl back under the duvet and I'm just dying. massive shout out to Unique 79, Prayash Majunda, Mike Gamet from the Gooners podcast, Arian Hidari, Petito 100, and Ola the Black Scorpion. Thank you for those donations. That's absolutely magic of you guys. To everybody in the chat box, you've been brilliant fun today. Other Nicky Wilson has been a bit of a tit, but there you go. That's how he rolls. Yeah, honest to God. If you are listening on any other platform, thank you for your support. As always, you know, you're magic. We couldn't do it without you guys. If you want to be part of the chat box, like the YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube channel, click on the bell icon, you'll be notified. If you guys, have got any questions or anything, just message us. We'll try to do them in the next podcast. The podcast this week is Danny. It's Chris Carpenter, funny enough. I think Shreds is on it. I'm not sure who else. We haven't done the lineup for the Blackpool game on the weekend yet, but we'll try to get out to you as soon as possible. But thank you ever so much for your support. It's been brilliant. Here's wishing you an epic 2019 to each and every one of you. We really appreciate everything you've done with us since 2018. So happy new year to all of you. From all of us at ABW. John, my thanks as usual. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Always just the
two of us. And I'll tell you what, we just show up, don't we? We just keep on showing up. We're like a bad penny. But thanks, mate. You're superb as you always. Well done.
Always a pleasure, Jace. Always a pleasure.
Yes. As 95 wins, John West said, Happy New Year. When you're 95 likes, come on, that can be 100 very quickly. Five of you, bang, tap on that like button.
They'll tap as soon as we turn off, Jace.
I know. I like the two thumbs down. I really enjoy those. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you ever so much. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you soon. John, switch this shit off.